Bishop Downs is away this morning, ministering today. He's ministering in Jakarta. He's been teaching at the Bible School, the Purpose Institute for Asia Pacific, there for the weekend. And he's doing some special topics. I'll be over there in July also teaching at the same Bible school. And we look forward to what God is doing in Asia. And we know a lot of the population of the world is in that, they call it the 1040 window. And God is doing great works. Praise God. Psalm chapter 137 and verse 1. Praise God. Psalm 137, verse 1, it's on the screen for those that didn't bring their Bible today. For some reason, they forgot their Bible. Psalm 137, verse 1 reads this. Let's read it together and see if we can read it in chorus. Praise the Lord. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged up our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Everybody say strange land. Turning over to the New Testament now, in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Let's read it all together. One, two, three. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Everybody say, to the Lord. How many people like to sing to themselves? Come on, let's see a show of hands. You just like getting a bit of a song. Anybody had a song stuck in their head all week? Yeah? Sometimes it can be the craziest of songs. Make sure you get a song to the Lord stuck in your head. Singing or speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I want to speak today on this simple title, singing the Lord's song in a strange land. Singing the Lord's song in a strange land. Heavenly Father, we love you today. We thank you for your goodness and your grace. Oh God, Lord, we pray that your word would speak to our hearts. Lord, speak to us as a church, but Lord, also just speak to us as individuals. Lord, give us a rhema word, a timely word for the circumstances and the times and the trials that we face now. That, Lord, truly we would be able to sing a song to you in a strange land. We love you, Lord. Bless the word today in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Our text this morning coming from Psalm 137. And I love the Psalms. But this text, it tells us of a point in Israel's history when they were part of the carrying away. Theologians and Bible scholars would call this time the carrying away. And I guess that the word comes from our text where it says, for they that carried us away captive. They were carried away into captivity. The children of Israel. This is a point in their history when the Israelites were taken into captivity. During this time of the carrying away, they were deprived of their homeland. They were taken away from God's gift for them. They didn't lose their identity, but during this time of the carrying away, they had lost their sense of identity. In fact, many of them, during this time of the carrying away in Babylon, they also lost their names. Babylon was a bad scene for
for Israel. They found themselves not just as tourists, but they were unwilling spoils in a battle. They were taken captive and taken into Babylon. And so many of the great characters, even that we read about today, their names were changed. They were imposed upon them by a heathen government there in Babylon. How many people know about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Yeah, we know about them. Well, they were originally called Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. When they went into Babylon, they were called different names. And because of the heathen government, their names were changed. Their original name, Hananiah, meant God is gracious. Mishael means who is like God. And Azariah means God keeps us. But then their names were changed to Babylonian names. Shadrach meaning the command of the moon god. Meshach meaning who is like the moon god. Abednego is the servant of Nego. And so they were changed, their names. They were taken captive, and it wasn't a good thing in Babylon. Even their names were changed. Even, how many of us know about Esther? Anyone know Esther? We know a little bit about Esther. She was so courageous. In Esther chapter 2 and verse 7, you can see there, but her original name was not Esther, it was Hadassah. And she was given the name Esther to be named after a goddess of the time. You see, these Israelites were taken captive in a foreign land. They were taken captive in Babylon. The Israelites were taken captive in a strange land. And so they faced many terrible things during this captivity, the carrying away. You see, part of it, the fact that they were taken captive was through their idolatry. It wasn't just the fact that they were taken necessarily just unwillingly, but they had done some wrong things. They had gone into idolatry. They had forsaken the ways of God and God's word. And you see, I think as Australia, we need to learn a lesson from this. Because when we forsake God's word, when we turn away from God, even as a nation, when we backslide away from Christian principles, there will be a captivity that awaits us as well. And so the Israelites were taken into captivity in Babylon that lasted for 70 years. But God wanted to remind the Israelites in that time that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Has anyone ever read that scripture before? You don't have to show your hand and thought, well, what does that mean? That they are without repentance. Without repentance means that God won't change his mind about what he has called you to do. You may make a mistake, but God still hasn't taken his hand off your life, and God still wants to do something through your life. God has still gifted you to do something, even though you may have made a mistake. The calling is still there. Whether or not you have obeyed the gifts and callings of God without repentance. And so if Israel, during the time of captivity, during the time of the carrying away, if Israel could just keep holding on to God's unchanging hand, if they could just keep holding on to him, if they could just keep trusting in the name of the Lord. The scripture says some have trusted in chariots, some have trusted in horses, but we have trusted in the name of the Lord. And so God was showing them, if you could just keep holding on to the name of the Lord, if you could just keep holding on to God's unchanging hand, that God's gifts and callings are without repentance. And so there they were in a strange land. God may have been silent to them, but God was never absent. They may have walked away from God in their hearts, but God had never walked away from them. Praise God. So we're talking today about singing the Lord's song in a strange land. Now, singing has always been associated with victory, victory songs. And I used to play football for 10 years. I played Australian rules football for the ANU, and we had a victory song. We didn't sing it very often. I don't think I even knew the words that well. But we used to sing songs, and there's still a few football clubs around, and especially in the AFL, they sing the victory song. And you know, before the game, we'd often get in the sheds and we'd be revving ourselves up and getting ready for the game. We're going to say, "Come on, boys, you're going to hear us sing the song." And I remember once that our coach, after a bad loss, we should have won the game. He made us sit in our dressing shed, and it was our home game. It was our home ground. We had to sit in our dressing shed. We weren't allowed to take our clothes off. And the coach said, just sit there and listen to them sing their song. I remember sitting there and having to listen to them sing their song on our home ground. He said, that should never happen. You see, songs have always been related with victory and singing the song of victory. In Exodus chapter 15, you can read about the Exodus when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. They came out the other side, and after seeing the enemy destroyed in the ocean by God, the Bible says that they took instruments and they began to sing and they began to dance, because singing has always been associated with victory. I'm not just talking today about singing a song after you get the victory. I'm talking about singing yourself to victory. There's a big difference between singing after you get the victory than when you sing to get the victory. How many people have been through a day in your life when you woke up and the last thing you felt like doing was singing? We've all been there. But sometimes if you can just get a song to the Lord on your mouth, if you can just start to sing in your heart those songs and making melody in your heart to the Lord, before you know it, you're starting to walk again in victory. You're not defeated because you got a song on your lips and in your mouth, in your heart. So I'm not just talking about singing a song after we get the victory, but I'm talking about singing a song so that we can get the victory. In 2 Chronicles, if you want to turn there, chapter 20, verse 21, Jehoshaphat, it says, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out in the head of the army. Jehoshaphat got some men. He said, come around. I want you to sing. I want you to make a joyous noise. I want you to play those instruments, and I want you to go out at the front of the army, and I want you to lead the way into the battle. And the Bible says this is what they sang as they went into battle. They said, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. You see, Jehoshaphat knew the importance of being able to sing your way to victory. And so what about us today? As we sit here today, many people have come from, had different sorts of weeks, maybe different sorts of months. Maybe you've had years and years of depression. What if you're going through a hard time today? What if you're going through a battle today? How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How do we keep singing a song in our marriage when the marriage is going through hard times? How do we keep singing a song in our family when our children may have turned their back on God, or there may be strife in the family despite the difficulties? How do we sing a song in a strange land? How do we keep singing when this world is so full of confusion? How do we keep singing when the Christian faith is constantly under assault? How do we keep singing when Christians are backsliding and turning their backs on God's word? How do we keep a song in our hearts in these last days? How do we sing in a strange land? As I was preparing this message, I felt the Lord impress upon me that there is somebody going through a serious time of uncertainty. I don't know what it is. It could be a job. Whatever it is a time of uncertainty. Maybe it is your health. Whatever it is, it's a time of uncertainty. I want to tell you, by the time I'm finished preaching, you're going to know the way to get victory over that uncertainty in your life. If we can just learn to sing a song in a strange land. Hallelujah. Psalm 137 verse 4, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? They said, we're there by the rivers of Babylon. We sat down. We were weeping when we were remembering what it used to be like before the strange land. We hanged up our harps. We'd put that harp up on that tree, on the willow tree, because they had taken us captive. And they not only took us captive, but now they're saying, come on, come on, sing us a song. Come on, you were singing songs before, but come on, can you sing a song in a strange land? It says, and they that wasted us, they that punished us and persecuted us, they required of us a song. And they said, how can we sing a song in a strange land? Now, I'm not talking about singing a song in church on Sunday morning, because it's easy to sing a song in church on Sunday morning. When everybody's here and everybody's singing and everybody's clapping and the musicians are playing, the praise singers are leading us in worship, we can probably get a song in our mouth and a song on our lips. I'm not talking about singing a song when everything's going well. We can all sing at that time. But how can we be faithful to God and to keep singing even though we go through undesirable times, even though we go through trials, even though we go through strange lands? I'm talking about singing the Lord's song in a strange land. Everybody say life. Life, 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 life. You know, there's sometimes when you're preparing to preach, you know, I remember hearing when I was a kid, you know, all the good preachers, they always got the definition out of the dictionary and from the Hebrew and from the Greek. And I thought, maybe I'll just get the definition of life from the dictionary. I thought I knew what it meant, but life, the quality that distinguishes a vital and functioning being from a dead body. It's a quality that distinguishes a vital and functional being from a dead body. One has life and the other doesn't, is dead. I was none the wiser. I already knew that. But I was thinking that when it comes to life, maybe I got a different definition. Life is about learning how to deal with things that you didn't plan for. Learning how to deal with things that you didn't plan for. I remember just as a young guy, I was about 15 or 16, and I started working, and I was working with Brother Rob. We were there making furniture, restoring old furniture, and I didn't have a great job. Actually, I went back just the other day, Brother Rob, and I visited them again and said hello, and they still remembered me. But I used to have to just sand furniture, and it was a boring job, but I managed to make some money. I managed to get a deposit for a house, so thank God for that back then. But I remember I came home from work one day, and I was working 15, 16. The longest day I worked was an 18-hour day, starting nice and early, and got home at midnight. And I was just a young fella then. I remember walking in, and I remember thinking that I was a real hero because I'd worked so hard. And I sat on the lounge, and I was still feeling like a hero. And I started to think that, you know, I didn't have to do anything around the house because, you know what, now I work. And I remember my dad asking me to do something. I said, Dad, but I'm so tired. And you know what he said to me? He said, welcome to life. Welcome to life, where everybody works. Doesn't matter how long you work during the day, you still got to get your own food ready. You still got to wash your clothes. It gives you no excuse to be a slob just because you work. That's what he was saying. Welcome to life. And so most of us know that life is more than just being dead or alive, but learning how to deal with things that you didn't plan for. You know, every tragedy in life would be so much easier if we could plan for it. But sometimes life is unannounced. It just happens. Sometimes, Brother Aaron, life is unrehearsed. And Sister Kate, sometimes life can be uninvited. And sometimes life just shows up. It doesn't just show up, Brother Tony, but sometimes life shows up and slaps you in the face. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Everybody say life. That's life. Sometimes life can be like that. We can go through the highs and the lows, through the mountains and the valleys. Welcome to life. And so because of the unknown factors in life, when things can just happen, we cannot forecast what's going to happen. We can't forecast where we're going to be at a certain time. And sometimes we can make wrong decisions. We can make wrong turns. We can do things that we never planned on doing. We can respond in ways that we never thought we were even capable of responding. And if we aren't careful, Sometimes in life, you can find yourself in a strange land. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? A strange land. The old song, Amazing Grace, we love it, says, through many dangers, toils, and snares. That can be what life can be like. I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will be my shield and my portion as long as life endures. We've got to learn to how to sing that song in a strange land. Through many dangers, through many toils, through many snares, we've got to realize that He is our shield and He is our portion. And if we can just keep singing, if we can just keep our eyes on Jesus, we can make it through that strange land. Romans chapter 8, verse 35, it will be on the screen. It says, what shall separate us, or who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? This is a scripture for somebody here today. You are in the strange land, but let me tell you, you've come to question, because you're in a strange land, does God still love me? Has God abandoned me? I tell you, nothing can separate you from God's love. Shall tribulation, shall distress, shall persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. You can make it through that trial. You can make it through that hard time. Jesus loves you, and you're more than a conqueror. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, neither height nor depth, nor any other creature. Come on, let's read the last little bit. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. The strange land can't separate you from the love of God. The trials you're going through can't separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing shall separate us. Nay, and I like this. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. I've read about conquerors before. I've seen that. I'm pretty sure I know what a conqueror is, but what is more than a conqueror? You see, David was a conqueror when he took that stone and he slung it into Goliath's forehead. He was a conqueror when he put that stone in Goliath's forehead. But Brother Aaron, he was more than a conqueror when he went up and took Goliath's head off. Esther was a conqueror when she saved her people, but she was more than a conqueror when Haman was hung on the same gallows that were reserved for them, the one he was persecuting. You see, we are more than conquerors. God is not just going to deliver you out of your bondage, but He's going to destroy the captor of your life. You got to get that. God is not just going to deliver you out of your bondage, but He is going to destroy the person or the thing that took you captive, because you're more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. You got to understand that. It's not through you. Yes, you may be able to conquer some things, but through Jesus Christ, you can be more than a conqueror. You can overcome those things that once had you bound and had you addicted. You cannot just give it up for a year, but He will destroy the yoke that had you bound in the first place. We're more than a conqueror. So we're more than a conqueror. And we got to realize this as Christians today. We don't just have to be conquerors, but through Jesus Christ, we can be more than a conqueror. Not just overcoming something for a season, but when you're more than a conqueror, that means God destroys that bondage that had you in the first place. So we're talking about strange lands. How do we find ourselves in strange lands? Yes, sometimes life happens. Sometimes life gets strange. Sometimes we find our life in strange lands because of our own decisions. Everybody say amen. We often like to think that it's everybody else's problem, but sometimes we're in a strange land because of our own decision. The next one's hard to swallow, but sometimes God will allow us to go through strange lands. Sometimes we'll go through a strange land, yes, because somebody did hurt us. Sometimes we will go through a strange land because, not because somebody hurt us, but because we think somebody hurt us. Sometimes we'll go through strange lands when we least expect it. And sometimes we go through strange lands when we were expecting. No one is exempt from strange lands. I want to tell you today, if you're a young person here and you haven't gone through a strange land yet, let me just prophesy to you. I don't have to even be super spiritual. But there is going to come a time when you're going to go through a strange land. Something's going to happen you didn't expect. A strange land. In Job chapter 23 and verse 10, and it's on the next slide, Job says, "Behold, I go forward," and he's not there. There's going to be times in your life when you're trying to press ahead and it doesn't seem like God is there. And I go backward and I cannot perceive him. I don't know where God is. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand and I can't see him there either. Where is God when I'm in the strange land? But hey, he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. I am going to keep in God's way because he knows the way that I take. So strange lands. You see, it is what we do when we get into the strange land that determines how long we stay in the strange land. It's what we do when we're in the strange land that will determine how long we're in the strange land. If we aren't careful, this strange land will not just be a period of time, but the strange land will determine who we are. The strange land can determine what our purpose is. So you've got to be careful what you do when you come to these strange lands in life. We've got to learn how to respond the right way in the strange land. You see, the devil wants to make these strange lands a place of captivity. He wants to make these strange lands a place of slavery. He wants to make these strange lands, even though they are short-term, he wants to turn that short-term disadvantage and mature it into a long-term disability. That you can be defined and your purpose can be changed because you went through a strange land. All because we got through a strange land, an undesirable place. Let me tell you, it is so important to do the right thing when you're in a strange land. It's important to have the right attitude when you're in the strange land. Everybody say attitude. Attitude's so important. Attitude is so important. There is a cliche, and it's true. I don't necessarily like cliches, but it says your attitude determines your altitude. Sometimes if you can just change your attitude, you can get yourself out of some problems. You can get yourself out of some depression, some sad times if you can just change your attitude. Don't be poor in attitude. You can be poor in money. You can be poor in the things you've got, but you don't have to be poor in your attitude. My mom always used to say that. She said, I might not have much money, but I got to keep my attitude up. I'm going to get up, going to get dressed, going to do my hair, going to comb my eyebrows. I'm going to do whatever I have to because I may be poor, but I don't have to have a poor attitude. You might not have much, but you can still walk around with your head held high even though you don't have much if you can just keep your attitude right. Have a good attitude. Don't be poor in attitude. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 1, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And verse 1, the Bible says, and I don't know if I can get past the first phrase, But it says in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, and it shall come to pass. Everybody read that. And it shall come to pass. I want to tell you today that even though you're in a strange land, the things that God has promised you shall come to pass. You've got to have an attitude. Your ability, listen, your ability to believe that determines your ability to receive that. Your ability to believe those six words will determine your ability to receive that promise from God. And it shall come to pass. I'm going to stop here and say, we've got to raise our children with a faith-filled heart and say, listen, if God has promised it, it shall come to pass. If we're putting our trust in God, we're leaving it in His hands, it shall come to pass. It might not look good right now. We may be walking through a strange land, but no, it shall come to pass. It says, if it shall come to pass. The key word here is if. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, listen to the voice of God, to observe to do His commandments, which He commands us this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above all nations on earth. It shall come to pass. Abraham, the father of the faithful, that's what he was called, because he was called out of the Ur of the Chaldees. He was told to go to a promised land, which he didn't know about. He was told that his seed would be like the sand of the ocean. He was given a wonderful promise, and then God said, okay, just start walking. Most of us would have stopped there and said, God, I'm happy to walk, but tell me where. But along the journey, Abraham was required to sacrifice his son, Isaac, to go to the top of the mountain as requested of God and to sacrifice his son, Isaac. That's one thing. The other thing that kind of worries me a little bit, and it's hard to comprehend, is that while Abraham was walking up the side of the mountain to sacrifice his son in the act of worship, there is Isaac carrying the wood for what was going to be his demise. And so he's walking up the side of the mountain, following his daddy. Hey, daddy, where are we going? He goes, well, son, we're just going to worship. He's carrying all this wood. Dad, where are we going? And dad, where is the lamb that we're going to sacrifice? And you know what Abraham turned around and said to his son? He spoke faith. He said, the Lord will provide. And sometimes when we're going through life, and listen carefully, parents, right now, sometimes when we're going through life, it will seem like our children are the ones carrying the wood. It will seem like they're going through and they've got an unfair situation. It's unfair that, you know, sometimes we feel like when we're worshiping God that here our children are kind of getting dragged along to church. Let me tell you, just keep looking to Jesus and keep putting your faith in God. And when your children say, where are we going? What are we doing? Where is the lamb? You can turn to them and say, listen, God will provide. God will provide. And when they got to the top of the mountain, after Abraham had spoken faith, what happened at the top of the mountain? God provided. And there Isaac saw the fulfillment of his father's faith. And Isaac went on, not to become some great man necessarily like Abraham, but he followed in the footsteps of his father. He redug his father's wells, all because he saw his father had faith in God, even in a strange land. God will provide. It shall come to pass. And it says, if you will hearken. There's another version says, if you will hearken diligently. It is that diligence that determines whether or not we're going to make it or not. If we hearken diligently. And so I want to tell you today, it shall come to pass. I come against the spirit of hopelessness here today, that spirit wants to convince you that it's over. That spirit wants to convince you that it is hopeless. But I want to tell you, if you would just hearken diligently to the voice of God, if you would just keep singing that song of worship, I want to tell you that it will come to pass. Clap your hands to the Lord this morning. We love you, Jesus. And so, how can we sing the Lord's song in this strange land? You see, a strange land can happen in an instant. One phone call, one visit to the doctor, one accident, one discussion. You can find yourself in a strange land. How did I get here? Let me tell you how you got there is irrelevant. Now you're in a strange land, it's irrelevant how you got there. The important thing is that now you learn to sing while you're there so you don't dwell in the strange land. That you can learn to worship God in the strange land so you don't dwell there. Sometimes we spend too much time trying to figure out how this happened to us. How did I get in this strange land? You know, I'm going to find somebody to blame for this. Somebody has to be held responsible for the fact that I have found myself in a strange land. Who did it? They did it. They did it. They said this or they said that. We try to find somebody to blame. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah? When you're in a strange land, it's irrelevant how you got there. What you now need to focus on when you're in a strange land is how can I learn to sing in a strange land? And so sometimes I think we spend too much time preaching on how people got into the strange land, and maybe we need to preach a little bit more about how to get out of the strange land. And that's what I want to speak about today. So I want to kind of help you today to see some principles that are going to help you to be able to sing when that time comes. That so that you don't backslide every time something happens that you don't like. So that just because you're not on the mountaintop doesn't mean that God has turned his back on you. Just because you don't have your answer to your prayers now, I want to tell you, it shall come to pass. We just got to keep walking in the ways of God. Keep believing God. Keep worshiping him. So here we are. Psalm 137, verse 4. They said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? I want to teach you a few things. The first thing, if you're taking notes, you can write it down. When you're in the strange land, you need to remember who you are. Everybody say, remember who you are. Even though the children of Israel were in a strange land, they were still God's people. Always have been and always will be God's people. And regardless where they were geographically, they were still God's people. They were still children of God. You see, when we get into the strange land, the devil wants us to question who we are. Maybe I'm not a child of God. Maybe he has forsaken me. Maybe I was fooling myself. You see, we must never let our geography affect our genealogy. Just because you're in a strange land does not mean you're a stranger. It does not change who you are. It doesn't change the fact that you're a child of the King. You've got to remember, in order to sing, you've got to remember first and foremost that you are a child of God. I am Jonathan Downs wherever I go. I'm going to be in Burma in 2 weeks from now. I'm going to be in Burma. That doesn't change the fact that I'm Jonathan Downs. Just because I'm in a strange land does not change who I am. Just because I'm in a strange land does not make me a stranger. Just because you're going through a valley does not mean that you're not a child of God. Just because you prayed, and some people say this to me, Pastor, I prayed and I didn't feel anything. Let me tell you, it doesn't mean that you're backslidden. Sometimes we're going to go through strange lands. Just because you come to church and you still got problems, it doesn't make you a hypocrite. You're not a stranger to God. Your geography does not change your genealogy. You've got to remember who you are. And so sometimes you've got to say to that devil, I am a blood-bought child of the King. I may be going through a hard time, but I'm still a child of God. I'm a chosen generation. I'm a peculiar people. I've been called of God. Just because my geography has changed hasn't changed who I am. Remember who you are. Everybody say, remember who you are. The second one is retain your ability to worship. Don't forget to worship God. Keep worshiping God. You cannot allow your whereabouts to change your worship. The Bible says in Psalm 137 that they sat down, they wept when they remembered Zion. Now, I'm inspired very often by people in this church. And being the pastor, I often know some of the more intricate things that are going on in people's lives. Some people are sitting here today have been through tremendous hardships and trials. Things that you could never imagine could happen to people. There are people here today that have been through that. But as I stand here in this church and I see them walk through those doors, you wouldn't know that they're in a strange land because they've got their hands raised, they've got their mouth open, and they're praising God. They're praising God in spite of the circumstances in their life. And you look at them and you think, ha, look at them. They're always worshiping God. They're always so happy. They've always got a song in their mouth. Their life must be perfect. Let me tell you, far from it. But they've learned how to sing in a strange land. They've learned that their worship is going to get them through their trials. They've learned that although they may be in a strange land, God is not a stranger. Paul went through some strange things. Paul went through a shipwreck. Then after the shipwreck, he swam to shore, found out that everyone wanted to eat him, put his hand in a pile of wood, he got bitten by a snake. I tell you, that'd be a strange land. Bunch of cannibals. Paul and Silas ended up in prison. That's a strange land. How did they end up in prison for doing the right thing? They were just preaching the word and preaching Jesus. They ended up in a prison. I want to show you something. This is what Paul wrote, and this is how he got through those strange lands. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart. Even though we've been falsely accused, even though we've been imprisoned for the wrong thing, we're still going to keep making melody in our heart. And they said, the Bible says, at midnight, Paul and Silas began to sing praise. And what happened? The earth began to shake. The doors opened. Their chains fell off. Let me tell you, if we can learn to worship, we can be set free from our circumstances. If we can just sing that song and make a melody in our heart. Now, let's get back to Psalm 137. It says they wept. But before they wept, they sat down. Then they hung their harps up. That speaks of worship, the harp. Now, I know that all of us here at some time or other in our life, we've hung our harp up. You don't backslide overnight. You don't just decide to wake up one day and say, you know what? That's it, God. I'm not going to worship you ever again. No, it doesn't happen like that. You don't just wake up one day and give up on God. Living for God is a process. The Bible says line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, and backsliding is process as well. You lose this, and then you lose that, and then you lose this, and you give up on this, and then you drop your worship. They didn't just wake up one day and say, you know what, we're going to put our harps down. It says that they wept before they quit worshiping. It says they sat down and they wept before they quit worshiping. They sat down. Now, I felt like sitting down sometimes. I've had people come and say to me, Pastor, I just need to have a break from God for a while. You're not going to see me for a couple of months. I just need to sit down. Let me tell you, that's the last thing you need to do. When you feel like that, you need to stand more than you've ever stood. You need to be in the house of God more than you've ever been in the house of God. Don't sit down, because if you sit down, you're going to start crying. You're going to have a little pity party. And before you know it, you're going to hang up your worship and you're going to worship God anymore. And you're going to be stuck there in that strange land. And so I know if the devil could get us to sit down, And if we can start crying about our situation, that we will hang up our worship and stop worshiping God. Paul said we've got to speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. I wonder what Paul sang. I wonder what sort of songs he sang. Well, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 8 and 9, it sounds like a pretty good song. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. I mean, someone could put this to music, I'm sure. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. I'm going to keep looking to God, and I'm going to keep singing, even though I'm in a strange land. It was the melody that shook the earth. It was the melody that caused the prisoner's chains to come off. It was the melody that opened the prison doors. We've got to learn to sing in our strange land. And the last point, it's not rocket science, but number three, to get out of the strange land, you've just got to refuse to stay there. Just because you're in a strange land doesn't mean you will always be in a strange land. One of the hardest jobs for me as a pastor, when people come with something that's happening in their life, is to help them realize that it's not going to be there forever. This too shall pass. You can make it through. Just because you're in a strange land doesn't mean you're always going to be in a strange land. And what's more, if we can just learn to praise God, the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. And when God inhabits, when God comes, that strange land or that place is no longer strange. Because God inhabits the praises of his people. You see, sometimes we've got to come to ourselves and say, I don't want to stay here anymore. I'm going to change addresses. I'm getting out of this strange land. I refuse to stay here any longer. It was that prodigal son, the Bible says, when he came to himself in a strange land, he said, I'm going to go back to my father's house. And that's important. There's three parables in that chapter. There's the parable of the lost sheep. There's the parable of the lost coin. And then there's the parable of the lost son. The lost sheep, 1 in 100, was lost because of ignorance. Sheep aren't smart. And so what happened? The shepherd leaves the 99 and he goes and looks for the one. Correct? Ignorance. The coin was lost by accident. There was 10 coins. One was lost. And the woman looks for the hat through the whole house. She turns the whole house upside down looking for that one coin. It was an accident. The sheep was lost by ignorance. The coin was lost by an accident. But how did the prodigal son get lost? His own choice. And so the father doesn't go out and get a son because he walked away by his own choice. Just like the shepherd doesn't leave the 99 to go and find the sheep. Yeah, it was lost because of ignorance. But that prodigal left because he wanted to. He wished his father was dead. He wanted the money there and then. He said, I'm going to go. Let me tell you, maybe you're in the strange land because you wanted to walk away from God and now you found yourself there. I can't come and get you. Somebody in this church can't come and rescue you, but you got to come to that point and say, you know what? I come to myself. I can't stay here anymore. I refuse to stay in this strange land. I am coming out. And some of us are here in that place right today. You've got to make that decision that you refuse to stay there and get up and move on. Devil, you thought I was going to stay here. But I'm getting out of this strange land. I refuse to stay here. Let's all stand in this place today.